When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of E2C Network, where we share the whole Auburn experience.
Where you go, Auburn fans? Welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson, and I'm also here with Jared Davis. Jared, this is going to be a tough one. We got to review the Penn State game. That one hurt. That one hurt a lot. And I think for a lot of Auburn fans, it really hurt, too. So, Jared, we're going to just get into it.
Do we have to?
I know, man. I think we need to talk through it, because I think this will help us process.
Like, what if
what,
we just...
What went on?
I think people would be okay. What if we just recap the 2010 National Championship game instead? Would that be better?
That would be a lot more fun.
Okay. The people would like that, I think.
I mean, There were a couple plays where I was like, ooh, TJ, looking a little bit like Cam when he's running.
Oh, yeah, he did, actually. I agree. TJ, anyway, he saved the coaching staff on a few third downs.
Absolutely. Man. Anyway. But, yeah, let's start out with, like, the hurt a little bit here. Yo, I kept feeling like this one hurt. And hurt more than any of the losses in the previous season, you know, Tennessee or South Carolina. Like, why did this hurt so much? And, you know, Jared, I want to talk this through with you and see, you know, if you also felt some of this hurt too. Because, like, you know, we saw Auburn last year progress a lot. And, you know, as the season went, you know, the team fought hard. You know, for goodness sakes, we almost beat Alabama, who made it to the playoffs. And then it's just like, why did this one hurt? And one of the things I kept coming back to was I hadn't seen, like, this game showed regression instead of progression with where we're at as a team. And that hurt. That really did hurt. Any kind of thoughts on, like, why it hurt, you know, it felt like it hurt this game even more than maybe other games?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. I think, number one, when you take people's hope away, that hurts, right? And so while we all saw signs of it last week against San Jose State, we were 2-0. We had not lost yet. You know, if we would have lost, you know, let's say we'd have already played a game and it was against a Power 5 legit team, had already lost, and then this happened to Penn State, it wouldn't have been as surprising, maybe. Mm. We still had the hope of we're 2-0. It's at home. It's the primetime game. You know, we almost won up there last year, and this happened. So that's, you know, that the hope has been taken away. And that leads me into the next thing. You know, there were games, a few, I mean, to give Gus credit, there were very few, you know, games that he really shouldn't have lost that he lost. But every time he did have a game like that, you could fall back and say, well, you know, he's also won these games, right? Mm-hmm. So you could always point to that. And I thought it was time to part ways and stuff, but I would always say, well, right, well, you never know what Gus is going to pull out. Cause I mean, he beat Bama like 3 or 4 times. So I think we have that to fall back on. We don't have anything to fall back on with Harsin, but we do actually. The only thing we have to fall back on is we ended with 5 losses last year. And the only Power 5 team we have beaten in our last 7 or 8 Power 5 games is San Jose, not Power 5, but just, football, you know, bowl. So what is it called now where you can go to, not the Mercer is double A essentially. The only big team we've been is San Jose State in the last 8 games, right?
Mm.
And so that's why it hurts. And to get beat that bad at your place, Auburn has not always been great, but really since 2012, past that point, even when we lost, it was always a fight and a close game.
Right.
Even teams that we were outmatched. And yesterday was not that at all.
I mean, you maybe give them, like, what, a quarter? Maybe you could argue, like, we were in it even around halftime when we had a chance to, you know, drive down the field and score a touchdown, and then we knew we were going to get it, you know, in the second half. But then from that point on, it was like, I felt like we went away from a potential win. It was, let's survive. And football teams, when they go into survival mode, are not good teams.
Let me ask you this, though, AJ. I know that we were in it, but did it feel the same to you like it did kind of towards the end of Gus's tenure? We're like, yeah, statistically we're in it. We're only down 8. But did it feel like down 20? Like, did you have the confidence that we could actually score that touchdown to tie the game?
Well, it was this weird, like, you would look at, like, I kept looking back at the stats, and I was like, wow, like, comparable stats. And then you would look at, wow, we've had X number of turnovers at this point in the game. And guess what? Penn State has held on to the ball. They haven't made any critical errors. And we've made it to, like, another thought that I had was, we've made it into the red zone how many times? I think we made it in the red zone like 4 times and only came out with 2 field goals and an interception and then a turnover and downs. And you're like, oh, like, that's rough. Like, we knew last season, and maybe this is also part of the hurt, like, we knew last season, you know, getting into the red zone and scoring was a problem. And this year is the same thing.
And I think you want to go back to the hope thing. We looked lost. Like, when we got in the red zone, it did not look like a competent offense. We almost looked like we were just like, oh, I pray this works, you know?
Yeah.
Where Penn State's out there, and I don't know, maybe it's just my built-in, you know, bias towards what I am afraid Auburn is, but I just feel like when we're running plays, we're hoping it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Penn State is like, no, they're going out there making plays work. And
right.
And also, like, Robbie Ashford, the prime time spot to put him in is when you're in the red zone. Give you a multiple options. You don't have to be super accurate if you can, you know, give him one read, roll him out, have somebody pulling across, a tight end going, you know, do some stuff. That's where you can be a little experimental and, you know, use his legs because it's real cramped in there, right?
Yeah.
And none of that. Like, we're that, you know, I don't know. I did not understand the use of Robbie during the first half.
I don't think anybody did. Like, I had a feeling we were going to, like, sub him in and out, but it just didn't seem right. Like, somebody pointed out there was a play where TJ made a couple, you know, great plays, and then guess what? We pulled him out. And maybe that's part of the script, but when a player is rolling, like, keep the player in. Like, there's like a, I've heard it before, it's like a, kind of like a wavelength. You're riding that wave. You're just going. And when you take them out, then it kind of resets that wave and says, sorry, you got to reset, and we're going to throw in a different person.
We did it against San Jose State. We could not move the ball in the first half, and we almost went exclusively TJ. Second half, we come out, we're moving the ball very well, and we bring Robbie in, and he fumbles the, you know, the handoff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we – listen – I think Penn State is a really good team. I think they are a really solid, well-coached team. They are not what they did yesterday. We were our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Like,
we did really dumb things. We had turnovers. We got 6-year seniors fumbling and hitting people late. And, you know, it's like you can't do that stuff. I think we're very evenly matched. I think if we go out there, don't turn the ball over and don't play stupid, that game probably does end up like 24-21.
Oh, yeah. It's a much closer game. Like, the turnovers, I mean, at this point, I mean, that's a huge red flag to me. Like, I don't know why you're not getting turnovers. Like, we have not had a single turnover. The closest thing we had was Olopapo's ginormous hit on Clifford. That didn't turn into a turnover. So, What? Where are we getting the turnovers? I mean, if you're facing the big opponents and you're not getting turnovers, guess what? You're probably not going to be in the game, like, at the end of it, unless your offense is just that amazing. And right now, our offense is not that amazing. If anything, it's kind of boring and vanilla. And guess what? Good defenses love a vanilla offense.
Yeah, we're not attacking. I think our defense is the same way. It's more like we're being reactive. Oh, we're like, uh-oh, just hold on. Hold on tight. You know, we don't want to lose grip of this. We're not being attack mode in offense. We're not being attack mode in defense. That's why we're not getting turnovers. I mean, I don't understand, and I am not a coach, but literally, I don't know why teams don't take at least 5 deep shots in a game. We saw none of it, and I know the O-line can't block really well, but bring in guys, make it very obvious you're doing it, whatever, I don't care. But we got Javarius Johnson, who I don't think has dropped a pass all year. Yeah. He has a ton of speed. You go deep, you might get a pass interference. I don't know. We didn't do anything like that. We're not going to move the ball down the field on team. We're not going to have 15-play drives. We'll probably throw 4 picks before we get in there on a 15-play drive. So we need to have chunk plays. We're not even trying to get those. The majority of our offense, besides doing some chunk plays, should be more of slants, drag routes. You got to help the O-line out. We're not doing any of that. We're not doing screen. And the times we try to do screen passes, there's a defensive guy right in front of our face to block the screen pass. It was a disaster. It was a complete disaster. I mean, it was bad. I can't think of one single. I will say this. I think Javarius Johnson is a big-time bright spot. I don't think he's dropped a pass. I think he had like 5 catches yesterday. I think Eku has probably played the best on defense all year.
Yeah.
Every game he has played well, including yesterday. He was getting held like crazy. And I think DJ James may be our best defensive back.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I thought he played well.
So, again, like, okay, so we talk about these individuals doing well. And we see those bright spots and we're like, oh, awesome. Like, these players are great. That doesn't make a football team. You have to have 11 guys on the same page performing well. And we didn't see that. Like, there were very few plays where I was like, oh, wow, all 11 guys did their job. And guess what? We made a positive play. And I questioned very quickly, and I've been a big, well, not big, but like, I've been a supporter of Harsin. Like, I think he, you know, he's saying the right stuff. He's doing the right things at times. And you're like, okay, cool. I think I can get behind you. But this game, I'm starting to question that, you know, loyalty to Harsin, because it doesn't seem like he's got his team ready. Like, I mean, even you pointed out something. There was, you know, some intel that apparently, you know, back to the quarterbacks, that Calzada got 33% of some of the snaps in practice. And you're like, why? Why aren't we giving it 50-50 with first string, you know, with, you know, TJ and Robbie, unless you are so concerned that TJ and Robbie aren't the answer?
Well, okay, so if you're going to give 33% to Calzada, why don't you put Calzada in the game?
Yeah.
I agree with you, number one. Here's my reality. I just ask you a question. I'm not going to let you answer it. I'll be quiet in 1 minute. If you are so concerned, right, that you're giving your third string quarterback 33% of the snaps, I think that third string quarterback probably needs to get the majority of the snaps. And you need to say, I am so concerned about what's going on here. It's not working. We're going to try this guy. And we're not trying an unproven guy, right? I mean, the guy beat Alabama last year.
Yeah.
Sure, he didn't have a great record. I think we've seen with Jimbo's offensive philosophy, that may have not all been Zach. So it's not like you're trying this with somebody who's never – like, I think you should have rolled with Calzada. And I don't think TJ was even the whole problem. But at some point, somebody's got to step up and make the team better. I don't think TJ does that. I think TJ would be good on a good team.
Yeah.
I don't think TJ is going to elevate everyone and carry the team. And Zach may not can either. But if you're so concerned that you're giving him 33%, that's just rumors. If you're giving him 33%, then you're concerned as well with TJ being able to do that. And it just doesn't make sense at all, especially not to see him on the field, period.
Right. And we haven't seen him at all. And to think, like, why, like, I just think of, you're taking snaps away from your practice snaps that are critical at this point. And like, I don't want to overemphasize this was a big game, because I think it was a big game. Like, I think this was we think back on, you know, Gus Malzahn era. There were certain games where, like, Gus just lost it. Like, he lost us the game by his coaching. And I just keep thinking back on, this is going to be one of those. Like, we look back at this Penn State game and be like, I just have a feeling that's going to be a big, you know, black eye for Harsin. And people are going to point back to it. And unless he has an incredible, you know, SEC where he ends up winning some games he's not supposed to, this is going to be a point where everybody says, yeah, I don't think Harsin's it. I don't think he can make it in the SEC. And that's, I mean, at least from my perspective, that was a big question mark we still had, was can he hang coming from Boise to an SEC school?
I think it was, it was not the biggest game in Auburn's career. Pretty pivotal for where we stand right now, but I think it was Brian Harsin's biggest game in his career.
Yeah.
And it did not go well for him.
Yeah. So let's talk about another topic, you know, it kind of goes along with that. Like where do you put the blame for this game? Because offense failed, defense failed, special teams was not even close to where we're expecting it. Yeah, we did make two field goals, but I'm not even like that didn't even make an impact on the game. So, like, where is this game? Is it on Harsin? Is it on Keesaw? Is it on Schmetting? Like, where do you think we should like start putting our anger towards?
Yeah, I think essentially, right or wrong, everything falls on the head coach. I think schematically, if Keesaw was in charge solely of the game plan, you know, from this one particular game, I feel like it probably falls more on Keesaw. Now, Harsin, if Keesaw can't do the job, that's on Harsin because Harsin chose him to do the job.
Yep.
You know, you assume it's just like when you boo a player, right? You assume most people are giving it their best, right? If they're not good enough to do the job, I don't blame them for that. I blame the people that hired them to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
If Keesaw is truly at his limit of play calling, and that is who he is, that's not Keesaw's fault. That's Brian Harsin's fault that Keesaw's our offensive coordinator.
Right, and we didn't hire somebody else as offensive coordinator.
And we didn't hire someone else. And we did hire someone else, but that guy had no OC experience, and that, who knows? We'll maybe one day find out what happened there. He was here for like 2 days, Austin Davis. But I'll say this final piece on that. Like, it all falls on Harsin. But Keesaw has to realize, okay, maybe you don't want to have a bad offensive line, but you have one. So What do you do? What did San Jose State do last week after they got sacked 7 times by Portland State the week before? They came in here and they ran quick slants and they ran quick pass plays where we could not get to him.
Yeah.
And we did none of that. And so, and we have better athletes than San Jose State. If you put the ball, all I heard all offseason once he signed with us was Coy Moore is the kind of guy that can take a slant pass and take it to the house. And I have yet to see Coy Moore get a slant pass thrown to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I heard was Camden Brown could be one of the best wide receivers we've had here in 20 years. I don't even know if Camden Brown has played since the first game.
He had no receptions this game.
Yeah, like, I don't even think he's had a target. So, and maybe the coaches aren't the ones that are saying all this, but I feel like the reporters are getting – I do know the young guys are being talked about when Harsin comes to the podium, and we're not – we're literally bringing Damari Austin in to run 2 plays a game. I don't even know what that's about. Number one, you're taking it out of – that's 2 extra carries Tank could have, who potentially is the best running back in the country.
Yeah.
And what is that really doing? You're putting Damari in and then pulling him out right after that. If you're putting him in, give him a drive. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Okay, I'm gonna breathe. You go ahead.
Well, and I think you get to like the more of the heart of the issue. It's like, why are we making these player decisions? You know, playing guys that, you know, maybe they've earned it through hard practice and whatever, senior leadership. But if the better player is the younger guy, I'd rather that. And you know, speaking of like Tank, like there were so many, like Tank didn't even get a carry in the second quarter. And you're like, how does that even happen? Your best player doesn't get a carry and you wonder why we were struggling. Like, well, give him a shot. Like, he's the guy that we've, you know, said we're going to rely on. Why not rely on him? That's my thing.
I thought Tank slack of carries was Mike Bobo. I'm now wondering, and I think what we all should have probably worried about, TJ didn't mean it this way, but, you know, they were asking the bowl game, well, you know, how is the game plan different than, you know, because Bobo had already gone and Harson was calling plays in the bowl game. How is it any different? And TJ said, it's not really that much different. And that was just a comment in passing, but we probably all should have been worried.
Oh, true.
It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe it was. And look, I don't think Bobo's that great, to be honest with you, but, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe he wasn't fully the whole problem. So, anyways.
Yeah. I mean, for him, you know, Tank Bigsby to only have 39 yards rushing the whole game, I feel like that's a slap in his face. Like,
he had 9 carries, AJ. 9 carries.
The single best, digits.
Potentially the best player. I'll be honest with you. I actually think Jarquez is a better overall running back. But Tank has the ability to be the best player on the field. Like, the most electric.
Yeah, 100%.
He had 9. And we're not talking about a receiver. 9 catches, 9 touches for a receiver is pretty good, right? He had 9 touches as a running back.
That's terrible. Like,
and one of them was a, well, I guess touches. That pass right before half where he got 40 yards on it. That doesn't really, I guess that was, maybe he had 10 touches, but 9 carries. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, as much as we're going to like gripe about this, I think this all comes down to, again, coaching decisions. And coaching decisions are, again, fall back on offensive, defensive coordinators and the coaches. And that's where, I mean, for me, the coach prepares the team. He the individuals that we talked about that did great, I think you're going to have those. You've got SEC level talent on your team, but you're not preparing the whole team. I mean, for goodness sakes, how many mental mistakes, you know, personal fouls, delay of games, unnecessary timeouts because we didn't watch the play clock, like little things like that, that you're just thinking, oh, wow. Like, those are very simple mistakes that probably cost you a drive and potentially a score. And like, if you start making those, you're not going to be a competent team. You're just not. They're going to capitalize off of that. So anyway, all right. So a couple other topics I want to talk about. So we had a couple of big plays. Obviously, we already mentioned the Owen Papo massive hit on Clifford. I think that was one of the highlights from defense for me. There weren't a whole lot from defense, but that was one of them. I still, like, can you still, like, comprehend, like, we still haven't caused a turnover? Like, that doesn't make sense. We've played 2 inferior opponents. Now we played a opponent that's, you know, I'd say arguably about the same, if not a little bit better than us. Still no turnover. How is that?
Our DBs don't turn their head when the ball's in the air. And they haven't done that for 20 years, so I don't blame that on Zach. I mean, that's just an Auburn problem. I mean, I cannot tell you how many 50-50 balls get won by the other team. It's like 100-0 against us when it's a, it happened again in Penn State. 50-50 ball, you know, we're defending them well, but we don't turn around and play the ball, and the guy catches it.
Yep.
So I think that hurts a little bit. I think the first 2 games, the other team's coaches were made good decisions and made quick passes, which doesn't really give a lot of opportunity for interceptions. We have caused a few fumbles. We called us the fumble against San Jose. I still think we did actually get a fumble against them. They called our player out of bounds towards the end. But and then we caused the fumble against, you know, Penn State on the first drive. But, you know, the ball goes out of bounds. So we've caused a few. We just haven't gotten the ball. And I think that's, again, man, I go back to, I don't think we're attacking. I just feel like we're scared. I feel like when I watch us play, every position is just like even receivers. You see really good teams and the receivers make the catch, and that's just a part of it. They're trying to make a play. I feel like we're just trying to make sure we make the catch. Like, let's make the catch. Okay, good. We got our 7 yards. No, we need to be like, I'm making this catch, and I'm turning this into a 30-yard play.
Right.
And we don't do that, and I don't think we have that mentality.
Right. Well, one of the, like, the mindset things that I go back with, like, Harson is, like, he wants us to be, like, a hard-nosed team. You aren't a hard-nosed team by just, like, making, like, the basics. You're a hard-nosed team because you do the hard freaking work. Like, you work hard. You know, it's in Auburn's, you know, it's in our creed. Like, we have to. And, like, I'm honestly not seeing that. Like, we're not putting in that extra effort to make those big plays. Go ahead.
I've mentioned it multiple times. You know, early in Saban's career, and really the first 2 years of Kirby's career, they had games where their offense could not move the ball. Guess what? Their DBs would pick a ball off and run it back for a touchdown, or they would return a putt for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do any of that. We haven't done any of that for a very long time. So we're not helping the offense at all. Now, the offense is, I won't reiterate how bad they were, but like, they're not getting any help from anybody. And, I don't know. I interrupted you.
No, you're good. I mean, I think it just comes back to, like, the coach's mentality and how they're coaching players. Because if you're, like, if you're coaching to just kind of prevent, especially on defense, bad decision. You're allowing the other team to dictate things, and you're not being the aggressor. And then you turn that around on offense. If you're just kind of, pretty much like even this game, you saw we were getting a little bit behind, so we start passing the ball a little bit more. We go away from Tank. You're letting the other team dictate what we do.
Yep.
Now, I know there's some balance. I understand that. There's some balance of, like, how you do that. But, like, at some point, if you want to be a hard-nosed team, you have to set the pace and set it early. And we haven't done that. And, you know, another thing, which we could probably talk another podcast on, is why aren't we finishing games? Like, second half is abysmal for Auburn under Harsin. Like, I'm not seeing the progress in the second half that I would expect. You're not finishing the game. You're just not. And when you get to that point, it's like, well, we better have a lead at half and then hold on to that lead in the second half. And it's like, that's a terrible mentality in football. You're not going to win a lot of football games that way. The other team's going to make the adjustments, and they're going to keep pushing forward all 60 minutes of the game. And the last second half of, like, most of these games have not been what I expected.
I've been pretty much a defender of Harsin, not because Harsin in general couldn't care less, but I typically am like, because people would say, see, we got rid of Gus for this. Well, you don't know what you're getting rid of Gus for, right? You got to give the other guy a chance, and I would want any coach to have a chance. And there were some positives you could point to last year, right?
Yeah.
It's starting to become a trend. Like, to me, somebody pointed it out last week when Jarquez went out of bounds against San Jose State, like, towards the end of the game. Tank did the same thing against Alabama. That's coaching. And yesterday, the interception that TJ threw, the clock had run out. Now, that's on the refs to see that, but it's also on Harsin and his coaching staff to see the quarter had ended. We did not get the snap off. That is a reviewable play. Yep. We even went to a timeout because the quarter ended. Why are we not seeing that stuff? Like, and so you're talking about second half. I don't know that they're making adjustments.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it, man, but I don't know if they got it. Like, I just, there's things that seem pretty simple, and they're not doing this. Like, telling you run it. I mean, Quez, it could have hurt us against San Jose State. He went out of bounds. We gave them another timeout.
Yep.
And that's coaching. Like,
yeah. Tell your guys, stay in bounds when to keep the clock running.
Even if you have to go backwards, dive backwards if you're heading out of bounds to stay in bounds. Whatever to keep that clock running.
Yeah. Well, and it's the little things. You think back to, I mean, like, most recent history, you know, Gus Malzahn versus Nick Saban in an Iron Bowl. Gus Malzahn, when he would win games, he was making all of the right tiny decisions that make the case for why he was a better coach that day. And that's the kind of stuff I think we got accustomed to with Gus, that he would make the tiny decisions to win the games. Now, there are plenty of times, obviously, he made those decisions and they were wrong and we lost the game. Don't get me wrong, but we got accustomed to, like, oh, there's a bright spot. He won us that game. He made Saban, you know, super angry. You pan over to Saban, he's angry. And you're like, that's because, guess what? Saban figured out he got outcoached by Gus Malzahn and he hated that. And I just don't know if Harsin at this point, at least he hasn't proven to me, that he's able to make those tiny decisions, even big decisions, to, you know, win us those games when it is close.
Because
guess what? We're going to have lots of close games. We will.
Gus fought for that extra second right before halftime in 2019 that gave us a field goal that eventually won the game. I could easily have seen Harsin running off the field on that play.
Yeah, just went bye.
Clock ran out. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not, like, again, I was defending Harsin. Like, and again, not because people are like the guy, don't like the guy. I couldn't care less. I don't know anything about the guy, honestly. I'm just like, what am I seeing on the field when you go out there to coach? And we've got enough on film right now. We got a little bit of a pattern going. And from a coaching standpoint, not knocking Harsin as a person, don't even know anything about him as that on that front. But from a what he's doing on the field, I wonder if he's out of his league, man. And I didn't think that. I really didn't.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the success that he had up in Boise. And we're like, oh, cool. You know, just bring that down. And, I mean, we all know SEC ball is a little bit different. And now even playing a Big Ten team, like, he can't even hold up against them. And you're like, we were talking about Hurt. Like, we just lost twice to a Big Ten team that I think we could have beaten both times. You know,
I'll be quiet after this, but AJ, if we fight for that and get that reversed, bare minimum, that's 3 points, right? And this is in the first half. What if we fight for that, get it reversed, call a much better play, and score a touchdown?
Absolutely.
Type of a game does that turn into at that point?
Absolutely. I mean, you're giving your team a better chance, like, going into half to set, you know, to win. Like, legitimately, like, you're fighting for your team, so you're showing your team, I love you. I'm going to do the extra little bit, you know, yell at the coach or the ref to, like, put that extra, you know, second up there or whatever. Like, I'm just not seeing that. And that kind of concerns me a little. And I'm an optimist person in general. So this is taking me a lot to kind of be super critical of this.
He really is, people. I'm in a group chat, and I am a pessimist. and AJ always responds with optimism, and it makes me mad in the moment. But then when I cool down, I'm like, AJ was right.
Well, but it's usually somewhere in the middle. That's kind of interesting. Like, you're like, you have to balance, and like, I'm coming back from like this. Oh, Harsin is, you know, he can do it. Like, I heightened myself up into thinking this, and now I'm being brought down to reality, slamming back into reality. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing that I feel like a lot of fans were, you know, talking about or have been feeling, especially this game, is they got their expectations got crumbled. And if that's you, I mean, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. So, Jared, any other, I know we didn't talk about very specific players, but any other general thoughts or players that stood out to you from this game?
Yeah, I mean, we may have kind of hinted on this. I want to make two comments. Our sixth-year seniors are the ones making mistakes right now. And
How weird is that?
That is super weird. I don't understand that. And so I'll be honest with you. The reason you play sixth-year seniors is so they don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
So if they are making mistakes and there are more talented guys behind them, I say put them in the game. That's my number one comment. Number two comment, I think we need to give Javarius Johnson I think the dude needs praise. He's unfortunately going to be seventh topic on what's going on with Auburn right now. I don't think the guy's dropped a pass. He's made a couple of great catches over the middle that were thrown behind him. He's caught deep passes. He's caught everything thrown to him. And really the receiving core in general has not dropped a lot of passes. Landon King had a great catch. But Javarius Johnson, the dude, and I think it was some personal reasons. I don't think he really wanted to leave Auburn. But, you know, he essentially was gone from the team, was in the portal. He committed to coming back, put in the work. And thank goodness, man, because he's really about been the only bright spot, you know, consistently every week on the offense.
Yeah, I'm loving some Javarius Johnson. Every time I see him running around, I'm like, thank goodness we have him on our team. Like, because we have Shedrick Jackson, who I think is a solid wide receiver, but he's not going to be a star. Like, he's not built that way, but he can get us a first down. And sometimes that's all you need. And behind them, I mean, we've kind of got the hype of, you know, a Landon King who, you know, transitioned from tight end to wide receiver. And then you got Coy Moore, who everybody was talking about. And we haven't even seen Camden Brown. So it's like, okay, so where do we go from here at wide receiver? If, you know, we get in another situation where it's like the coaches decide, hey, guess what? We're not going to be running the ball a majority of time. We're going to pass the ball a little bit more. And you're like, okay, so then that means we need a quarterback then first off pass it, and then, you know, a receiver that can make the play, get open. And that's sometimes when we don't have enough guys.
Shed's got to step up, man. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
He runs great routes. He's open. But he fumbled this week. He's had a couple of holding penalties in key spots. You know, so he needs to step up. But I like Shedd. I do. I like him a lot, and I think he runs great routes, and I think he can be your third down, can trust my guy to get open guy. But, yeah, his fumble hurt us, man, because I think it was a first down play, good move the chains, and we fumbled.
Yeah, absolutely. One other bright spot that I'm just waiting to see. I love a good punt returner, but like Keontae Scott is going to, I mean, he has that capability where you're like, wow, he just made a great decision to like just snag that ball and start running, where most others would have just been like, all right, fair catch it, whatever. And he's like, he's got the guts to do it. And that's going to pay off at some point this season. He's gotten a few good returns, and I'm like, all right, keep doing that. Like, I want you to have that aggressive. Again, we get back to, like, what's the mentality change? I think it needs to turn from a little bit more of a reactive to an aggressive mentality. Not, you know, out of control aggressive, but, like, a controlled aggressive that will spark something. And right now it's like, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake. You can't have that mentality. Like, I remember, like, when I was playing high school football, my coach, when we would get up on a team, he was like, keep your aggressive mentality. If you lose that, that's when you will start making mistakes. Not that we were running up the score or anything. It was, you have to stay locked in and play in a way, you know, hard-nosed football. And if you aren't doing that, you get put on your heels so quickly. Injuries happen. Bad stuff happens. It's just bound to be that way. So that's the biggest thing. Literally, I'm going to be looking for that the next week, is how aggressive are they against Missouri. And we'll come back later in the week and talk about the Missouri game. But before we do that, how can the people stay in touch with you, Jared?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jared Davis.
And you can find me on Twitter, AJAY, JAY _. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.